You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness and health entrepreneurs come to learn how to make more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. If you'd like to build your ideal business, listen in to this episode. And if you'd like to work with me to do it faster, you can email me at pat@patrigsby.com. All right. Hey, everybody. Another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today is a pretty special and awesome day because I have my friend John Berardi on the line here. And, we're just going to really kind of dig in. John has a brand new project or maybe a collection of projects all under the Changemaker umbrella here. And a lot of exciting things going on, so I'm sure that'll come up. But frankly, anytime I get the opportunity to spend some time with John and listen and learn, it's always a good day. So welcome, John.
Thank you. Thank you. And vice versa. I mean, for those listening in, they know how impactful and of a person you are and, you know, how much they learn from you. So I feel the same way. It's always a real treat to share ideas, talk about stuff, bump into you at events. And so this is great for me today. I hope people enjoy listening in to a conversation that's probably pretty much like what we would have if we were just hanging out anyway.
Well, that sounds good. So, man, you've obviously had some big things kind of happen professionally with this kind of evolution where now there's this big focus on change maker. So, I mean, like I talked about before we started, I mean, this could probably go a bunch of different directions, but really I would love to just get you to talk about the inspiration for this new project, the book and the ancillary stuff that goes with it.
Yeah, sure. You know, it actually goes back to years ago with my work at PN. You know, there was a phase probably, let's call it halfway through my time at PN. So if the beginning was like 2006-ish when we started the company and the end was 2017 when I sold my majority, you know, ownership of the company, about halfway through, things were getting way less fun for me. I mean, I still was really proud of the work, but I had this conflict, which I've seen people have in our field, where, you know, the work is meaningful. It seems to be fulfilling your purpose. But then when you sit down at your desk and you put your fingers on the keyboard, if you work from home like I do, that was my work day, you're not having any fun, you know? So it's like, you know, so there's this weird disconnect. We've seen it with our team at PN too. Over the years, we've had people who are passionate about the company, love the work, love the culture, but their unique abilities and the work didn't completely line up. And it's really kind of heartbreaking because they so want to be here, you know, but they're just not jazzed about the 6 hours of activities or 8 hours or whatever, however long they work. And I was in that stage. In my mind, I had like tried to be a good business owner and founder. So I was reading Inc. magazine and books on business and stuff. And I really had this mental model that like when you're a founder, you start off and you're basically doing everything. And then as the company sort of grows, you're floating on the top of it, right? So you become a manager when you hire some people, and then as it grows, you hire some people to manage some people, and then you have to be a manager of managers. So you become like an executive or a leadership role or whatever. And that's what I believed had to happen. So now this is a real departure from like what I love doing. Like I come from a research background. I also love telling stories and writing, and I, you know, ran the marketing team at PN and the content teams. And now I wasn't doing any of the fun stuff that I started in this field to do. I was doing like leadership and management stuff that I was having like zero fun at. And I don't want to over dramatize it, but it got to the point where for a while I'm a systematic person. So I get up, I have one on my desk right now as we talk, you know, but this is one of my marble note pads that I keep, and I'm writing down like options, you know, for how to get out of this like terrible experience that I'm having. And the range is from like sell the company all the way to like drive off a bridge so that my family can get some insurance money. And, you know, when I started writing down the kill yourself options, I was like, ah, maybe I need to get this out of my notebook and talk to some other humans about this. And, you know, I got some counseling, but also I sat down with Phil, PN's co-founder, and, kind of told him the experience I was having. And, you know, he was so amazing about it. He came out to my house and we had this chat, and he's like, listen, JB, we can hire executives. We can't hire what you're good at. Like, we're not going to find anyone as good as you at the few things that you are passionate about. So we can hire the rest. So starting today, you're going to stop doing all these other things and you're going to do the things that grew this company in the first place that you love doing. And then I want to go through this process. And this was, it's what sort of morphed into what I share in the book as this career process, where you like identify your purpose using a series of questions and triangulating with friends and family. Then you identify your unique abilities. So what I call sort of the things that you are or have the potential to be world-class at, the things that you actually enjoy doing from that domain, and then the things that move the needle. So they make a difference when you apply them. You know, so some things may make no difference on your business, even though you like them and you're world-class, and others may make a huge difference. So when you find that little pocket of those three things, it's quite an amazing work experience counter to what I was having. And then the last was sort of this idea of values. You know, and you and I've talked about this extensively, the sort of guardrails for your life. And so we went through this process of discovering them for me. And, it was so sort of life shaping that I would consider everything that came after that, like part two of my career. Part of this is such a big tangent to answer your question, but the answer is, going through that process, my purpose was really illuminated. And the way that I categorized it is basically threefold. Like, I want to know that this field, will be better for having had me in it when I die or retire. So in other words, leave it, you know, better than when you found it. And the vehicle for doing that is helping the people who work in it see themselves differently, their role in the world, their earning potential, all these things, and their clients differently, which historically the fitness industry has had a kind of embarrassing relationship with clients. Like, you know, we view them as weak and lazy and need to be fixed and broken. When most of that isn't really true. So for me, it was this sort of enlightening purpose where I was like, oh, this is like enlivening. It makes me feel excited. And so I was trying to live that through our work at Precision Nutrition, right? So helping professionals get the education that they need and, you know, our certification. So a lot of the Precision Nutrition company was about helping professionals level up. But when I had the opportunity to, you know, bring on an investment partner, in 2017, and they sort of took over primary ownership of PN, it created this space for me to really lean into this purpose, like not under the guise of nutrition education and coaching, but real career education and coaching. Now I can talk to the exact thing. How can we help level up the people in the field to see themselves and their clients differently and to leave the field better than when we got here? So that's how sort of the changemaker concept was born. And it first started out as you know, as a book. You know, I figured, I have this space now to think about all the things I've learned over the last 30 years in the field. I'd like to capture those. So it took way longer. It was way more painful than I thought it would be to do. You know, all my previous books were like essentially technical, right? Like about nutrition and biochemistry and health and fitness. This is totally different. This is personal, you know, this is what have I learned? And then I need to reality test this and make sure I'm not spewing a bunch of bullshit cliches, but real things that I learned that I think mattered. And that's what made it so challenging, because I could easily spew off things, you know, but I'm like, how can I distill this down to the things that actually mattered rather than just all the things I think we did and maybe could have made a difference. And then when the book was finally coming to completion, I remember, you know, my wife Amanda was like, "Hey, so what are you working on in your office now?" And I was like, "I don't know how to tell you this, but I think I have to start a new business." And she was like, "Oh, well, do you want to start a new business?" I'm like, "No, I don't. I totally don't. But I feel compelled to because this is my purpose." So for years, I told people this thing, like, leave the field better than I left it, help people level up in themselves and in their client relationships. And so now, with the PN transaction, so grateful to not have money as a driving force anymore. I don't technically need to work anymore. So this is actually a real proof of that purpose for me. You know, I'm like, I have the chance to do nothing now. And the first thing I do is just lean into this purpose that I've told people I've had for years now. So I guess it's true, you know, and she's so super supportive. And actually her words were like, "That's great. If you didn't have anything to do at all, you drive us all nuts. So go work on this Changemaker Academy thing," you know? So that's really it, you know? So basically then the Changemaker Academy was born, which is basically, you know, extension of the book, you know, the idea of courses on career development, on reputation development, stuff on business, you know, stuff on education, like how do you build future you, you know, starting wherever you are today. And then events, you know, we want to put on a big annual event, but even more exciting or equally exciting is the idea of sort of geographical sort of meetups where people who work and live in the same cities and towns can meet up with others who are working in the same field as them. And rather it be an adversarial or competitive relationship, it be one of sort of mutual support, learning, and leveling up together. So that's kind of the vision. But as I've often told people, step one is see if people are interested in buying the book, because if people aren't willing to buy the $20 book, don't invest a lot of resources in making the rest and then pretend you never made a website with those in the first place.
So, you know, it was interesting that you shared that. I know, we had conversation long ago, probably all the way back in 2015, when I had experienced kind of my own version of what you alluded to, where, okay, I had been in the middle of a business that I had built and was feeling a lot of the same stuff, being pulled away from the things that I felt like I was meant to do. I mean, I've always kind of self-identified as a coach and felt like I wasn't doing this anymore. So, you know, I kind of wish the book was around, in 2013 or 14, I was kind of trying to go through that process myself. But I mean, you know, just experiencing it myself, I understand how, you know, how challenging this can be for somebody and how, you know, fulfilling it can be when you do get this alignment between your values and your vision and, you know, and I know it was a struggle for me. There aren't a lot of things that I use the word struggle with, but I know that was a struggle, not having kind of a roadmap, just kind of grasping at so many different things saying, okay, well, wait a minute. If I could build that, why can't I build something I'm really loving?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I was able to kind of craft my own map along the way. But
what do you think helped you see your way out of that?
Honestly, I think the thing that probably helped me was I had gone through a little bit of that experience previously than my, so basically there have been like three careers, right? I was a college baseball coach, college strength coach, and then built the organization, like Fitness Consulting Group, Fitness Revolution, and the ancillary companies, and then now. And so I had gone through some of that as a baseball coach. And I was finding towards the latter part of that is like, I'm spending all my time not coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm spending all my time fundraising and booking hotels for road games and all this stuff. I'm like, this is not what I was excited about. And frankly, all this extra stuff is not, it's not really in line with what I'm good at or want to go mm-hmm. for. And so I reflected back on that and said, I kind of found my way out of this, and it seemed like I had learned from some of it along the way. And, I know I had a variety of conversations with people and just kind of cobbled things together, but I knew that just having gone through that experience previously and seeming like, okay, I made it better, but what was I missing
mm-hmm.
that second time through? And so maybe I was able to ask better questions along the way.
Yeah.
Just knowing how that can, the transition from being in this position where like, okay, I'm either excited about a part of what I'm doing, but these other things are kind of clouding the enjoyment and, mm-hmm. Or feeling like, okay, I've drifted. I felt like in my first business after the baseball stuff, felt like, okay, I'm drifting away from being the coach and writing and kind of a lot of the stuff you talked about with like the managerial side mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah.
It's like, man, if I, in that position where I was okay, already okay financially and had a lot of things in place, I can only imagine how discouraging it would be for somebody who's a little earlier on in their career and they're mm-hmm. Not able to make the best decision for them because they're having to make kind of a more financially urgent decision.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question as to if people were to kind of use this to help shape their path, not only how much better would the industry be, but how much more fulfilling would each individual's career path and their just journey.
Overall. Yeah. And I think, one of the things that made it so fun and interesting was, we started applying the same tools to, the human resources side of Precision Nutrition, so this wasn't just an entrepreneur thing, like a small business owner thing. This was like every team member, from a client care team member to a technology team member, to finance and legal team members, and it was really this like deep investment in this exact thing. 'Cause our thoughts were like, how cool of a place to work would this be if everyone here is like actually actualizing their purpose, using their unique abilities and able to express their value systems. And they know the person next to them is doing the same as well. And, it also was a great HR tool, because if someone wasn't, like, it was so obvious, we were culture built on this tool set. So if someone wasn't working within their unique abilities, we knew it, they knew it. And it was an easy conversation to have, either transitioning to another place in the company, if there was such a place that existed for them, or transitioning them out of the company to I've often told team members, I know pretty much everyone in this industry. So if you want to stay in this industry, like, I can help make those introductions. And what you need to do is take ownership over the unique ability fit and alignment. Is that work over there that I'll recommend you for in alignment with your unique abilities? Because you're leaving a place because the work isn't. So let's put you in a place where it is. And so, both as a very individual exercise, it's really sort of enlightening. But as a team exercise, it's incredible too. 'Cause like you say, how fun would that be? How interesting. And, sometimes when I talk about work, people often look for fun. And I'm always like, it's not the best word to describe what's happening when you're doing meaningful work, but sometimes it's not fun. You know what I mean? But that doesn't diminish the pride that I have in having accomplished it, nor does it diminish the alignment with your, your purpose. Some days I go into a strategy meeting and I love doing strategy work, and it's exhausting. You know what I mean? Because part of the goal is to be challenged, like to come up with, I think X, and then fill the room with people who go, but what about if Y happens? And have you thought about Z? And you're going, oh God, you're like breaking my head apart and make me think about things in a new way. It was so convenient and tidy the way it was built inside my head already. Now we have to, so that's not always fun, but boy, it's gratifying, you know, if you're elbow to elbow with people in the same sort of place, you know, when it comes to these things. So, I think at any stage in your career, it's valuable to do. You know, when I did it for the first time, we already had a, you know, probably valuation of PN was probably $100 million at the time. So this isn't just for beginners. And, I don't know if you know Geraldine Coopersmith, who's a good friend of mine. And, you know, Geraldine was one of the early reviewers of the book. And, you know, I did this interesting process that we can talk about later, but, to have people review the book. But, you know, her son had just moved out, you know, while she was going through the book. So she's like, I have to actually redo this whole thing again due to this like change in my circumstances, you know? And that, I mean, that's what we recommend in the book. I have people actually map out and write down on the calendar which days they're going to revisit each of these things, because there will be subtle shifts and sometimes not so subtle shifts in them. And again, this is on a micro scale, it's really important to revisit regularly, and on a micro, I have mine posted right here in my office, like my unique abilities, purpose and values, because I forget them. You know what I mean? Like when opportunities come flying in and I'm not clear thinking in a particular day and something urgent comes up, it's really, really easy to forget, what you decided on a clear thinking, thoughtful day. And so that's like, it's important to revisit daily, you know, so when you are, so you can actually take coaching advice from clear thinking you, you know, like, we don't always need to pay coaches. Like we just refer to our best selves when that person wrote down some things. And that's why I love, you know, doing exercises with people on this, which I'm sure you do too. And then again, revisiting it on a grander scale, like every few months or every few years, to see if anything's changed.
So I've got so many different directions I could probably go and ask, but and these are going to be kind of disconnected the order I have them, just because there are just so many things that I would love to chat with you about. But the kind of the next question I had, and it maybe it's just an observation I'd love for you to expound on, is I know that for me and for a lot of the people who do some sort of business coaching or business development in the fitness industry, we typically work with owners or entrepreneurs. But one of the things I thought was so wonderful about this is, you know, it's essentially talking about a career. So it's not exclusive to that group. And you know, I think that's much needed, obviously, but I mean, could you share a little bit more on the thinking there?
Yeah. And thanks for picking up on that, because this is one of my biggest, strongest urgings. I was at Luca's event in Seattle recently, a couple weeks back, and I had some one-on-ones, and then we talked about this with the audience from the stage. I really think there's a bit of brainwashing going on in health and fitness right now, that the way to have a career is by becoming an entrepreneur. And I think that's deeply problematic. It cuts you off from all kinds of great paying opportunities. So if we're talking about money, now if we're talking about unique abilities, entrepreneurship is a set of unique abilities, purposes and values. And so if you lean right into that and that it's not yours, that's deeply problematic as well. And I get it. Like, you know, 5 minutes ago. So let's say that's 5 years ago, right? But it's a very short period of time in the history of a career. There was almost no education around business, right? So The introduction of this is a really super positive thing, but I do think we have to be really careful not to just become an industry of copycats. And it's really dangerous and it happens all the time. We're like, oh, so-and-so has a great business, or I think they make a lot of money. And first of all, it's really difficult to know without seeing their books who's successful and who's not. I mean, when we went through the transaction process with PN, it was sort of the first time in my career I got to see the books of a host of other companies, because we were working with a private equity team and they had access to all these pitch decks from other companies and stuff. So you actually get to see people's real financials. And I'll tell you, there's a ton of businesses that you would think are crushing and are in big trouble. And there are a ton of businesses you will have never heard of and are crushing. So it's like Facebook, and, you know, don't compare your life, just your regular life, to someone else's highlight reel. That's what's happening in business. And so now what people are doing is they're copycatting. So they're going, oh, that's successful. And so that's what I need to do to be successful. I'm going to copycat that. And they don't even know if they're copycatting the right business. And so that, you know, just some examples. I mean, we at PN, towards the tail end of my operational work there, were looking for a product lead. So someone to come in and basically sort of be like an executive in charge of all product development. And we have a program called ProCoach, which is a nutrition coaching software. And so this individual would have been in charge of that. And so we found an excellent person who we ended up hiring, who was making over 500 grand a year in their previous work. That person loved health and fitness, loved technology, found a company where they could sort of rise up the ranks and build great products, and was making a killer income, not running their own business, you know? And so I just have so many examples of this. Nowadays, we just live in this time where there's like health businesses, health technology businesses, fitness businesses, coaching businesses, wellness businesses. And you don't have to be a coach to be successful in them. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to be successful in them. One of the greatest highlights for me from Luca's event was my right-hand person at Changemaker, Andrea, was sitting next to a woman the whole day. And in the beginning of the day, like, every note she took in her notebook was about how to start her own business and what to focus on. And then she listened to my talk and she wrote a big question mark across the next page. I'm not even sure I want to be a coach, ? Or an entrepreneur, ? You know? And it was just like, yes. Now, I don't know if I ruined her life or saved it. So TBD, you know, but just this idea of saying like, oh, hey, we need to enter into these things in a very thoughtful, clear thinking way. I mean, it's the opposite of all the advice in health and fitness now, which is everyone finishes their podcast and their stage presentation with, you got to take action. You know what I mean? It's the action takers who win. And I'm like, I get why people say that, because nothing happens without action. But there's a flip side to it. Everyone from that stage is trying to sell you something and they want you to take action on buying their thing. Before you take action, there should be like a thoughtful evaluation process to decide if that action is going to matter, if it's going to bring you a better life, bring you more money, be worth the effort. And so that's, you know, this is, you know, my rant on the idea that there's this one path to have a career in health and fitness, and it's ownership/entrepreneurship. If it's you, beautiful. I mean, that was my path, right? I mean, it led to some great rewards. But it's also partly my disease, because I think I'm probably unemployable. You know what I mean? So the flip side of this is you try and like give me the job that dude that we hired had, and it'd be a wreck. I'd be miserable, and they would be miserable for having hired me too. So, you know, this is just the path that was a great fit for me. And I recently was talking with a friend who's kind of an informal business coaching client of mine. And his question was, you know, I want to figure out how Precision Nutrition built the content engine that it has. Like, I want to build that for our business, you know. Can you help me unpack that? Can you help me find great talent? And I'm like, I can, but I don't want to until we know it's the right move for you. Like, I look at your business and there's not a single person on the team, and they're, mid seven figure business. So they're doing great. But there's not a single person on your team who does long form content. Like if there were, I would say, oh, there's someone who wants to do this. Like PN does long form content because that's my other disease. Like I'd be doing this if there was no pay, you know, like I sit down and write articles and do content like this. I can't stop myself. It's how I organize my thoughts. It's how I come to conclusions. So this is happening because of me. And then I just attracted people who like this kind of thing. So we have people who are going to do this kind of content regardless. Trying to graft that onto a company where not a single person would spend a minute of their free time doing that is problematic. So it's like, let's look at what you guys are gravitating towards already. You know, as the old saying goes, like ride the horse in the direction it's already going. And what emerged was they're great at this. They're great at talking on camera and on, you know, microphones and doing podcasts and stuff like that. So it's like, the question for me is how do you level that up? So you do it as well as PN does written content, but in the medium you're already doing that you'd be doing without being paid. So that sort of traces back. So that's just a micro example of the principle, which is finding out whether you're an entrepreneur or not. You know, if you like a lot, most entrepreneurs I know like started businesses when they were teenagers. If you're like 35 and going, I need to be an entrepreneur now, I'm like, nah, there's no evidence that the horse is going to ride in that direction. You know, one of my close friends is like, he used to like trap animals in the woods and sell their pelts when he was like 16 years old on eBay. Like, everything he's done since is entrepreneurial. You know what I mean? So it's like, these are the kind of people who kind of already know that this is the unique ability and purpose and value system for them. So really, again, you know, and the book is designed not to just chastise people into thinking about these things, but actually give them tools to do it, you know, and so there's over 60 worksheets and scripts. And my goal is to help people sort of emerge with a really much more clear picture of these things. It's never going to be perfect picture, but there's to sit down, take a few minutes, get clear thinking, have some coffee if you drink coffee, have a meditate before if you need to meditate, and really come up with clear thinking answers in your best moments, and then work from that, you know, rather than the opposite, which is all the inputs of life creating like a messy stew in your head of what you think you should do next. Those are not good conditions for increasing your probability of a long-lasting career.
So, first of all, that was extraordinary, and I'm ready to go fill out the worksheets and everything else. And I'm a pretty happy guy with where I'm at. So, but I do want to go back to one of the things that I think that maybe I talked through with you either through calls or through the podcast we did a long time ago. I mean, you really enlightened me to the phrase guardrails. Mm-hmm. And maybe more than anybody else that I know, I think you have understood and employed the ability to say no to opportunities that came your way and kind of kept your focus on whatever you deemed a high priority at that time. I'm not even sure what question I would want to ask other than those things, just watching you and trying to employ that in my own world has had just such an enormous benefit. If you want to talk about that for a couple of minutes, I'm sure it would help a bunch of other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That's really meaningful. I mean, you're someone who I've looked up to as well. So those kind words and the fact that, you know, you think some of my teachings over the years have had a positive impact feel really, really nice to me. Yeah, I mean, it's a thing that I think, you know, I often say that I have never sort of innovated in my own life because I'm such a heroic, proactive individual. It's usually forced by some kind of external circumstance, like having children or whatever else, you know, the thing we just talked about, the unique abilities and values. And that only happened because I wrote down drive off bridge as an option for my life choice, you know? And then I was like, all right, that's all right. We need to look into this. So for me, like having a family became, a lever for learning some of these things. You know, I realized that I wanted to be a super present parent and partner. And I looked around and most of the people who were being very successful in the field weren't those things. And so I was like, I need to figure out how to do this. And, you know, so then it just became, you know, this idea of guardrails, right? So, you know, especially, I think guardrails are especially important, because when you are working in your purpose on your, using your unique abilities, it's really easy to overwork because you're having so much fun. And it's not a problem like 95% of the people I meet have. But they're dreaming of the day where they could do something like this. And I'm like, hey, I've gotten a chance to do it. And holy crap, I needed something to stop me from working. You know, I needed to be super clear about, you know, where self-care fits into my program, where family time fits into my life program. And so, you know, that's the value systems, right? And so, again, I have a series of questions that kind of mine, you know, historical. And this is, there's something you said earlier that I think was so profound around this. You're like, oh, I went through this difficult time in my business career. For some reason, I remember to reflect that I already had made a shift from coach to business creator. And I think humans forget this all the time. They forget to look for analogies. I don't know if you've been exposed to David Epstein's new book Range yet, but it's, you have. Okay. One of my favorite books of the last 10 years that I've read. And in it, that's what he talks about, like people who are innovative and solve problems and maybe the skill set of the future is this idea, not be so narrowly trained in a particular area that you can't look to analogies. And spaces adjacent that most other people wouldn't be familiar with and say, how'd they solve that problem over here? Okay, can I port that over to here? You know, and that's, I mean, that's what we did at PN. Phil was the consummate expert at doing this exact thing. And Phil's, you know, the co-founder of Precision Nutrition. He would go check out things in other industries that were, you know, at exceptional level of quality and go, hey, this isn't a perfect graft over to what we're doing, but what can we learn from that, borrow from that, you know? So he was always looking outside of health and fitness for ways to do better inside of health and fitness. And I remember when we had set a goal of sort of 10Xing our company, you know, everyone talks about the 10X, you know? And I remember like really checking in with myself when we were having this conversation and going, oh, wow, I actually feel a little bit scared about this. And I sat with that for a little while until I realized we had already 10X the company. Like we've done this once already. I just forgot, you know? And so it's that ability, I think, to go across and like think back into your own history. When did you solve problems like this before? And then think into, you know, other places and the people, you know, did they experience things like that? And just be super curious. So I really like that about your story, and I think it's really critical. So I wanted to highlight that. But, you know, getting back to this idea of the guardrails, you know, just setting it up so that your values govern how you'll go about approaching the rest of your life. And then really tactically, like a lot of my decisions come from like a NCAA tournament type process that I run. So if I'm ever feeling like, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that I could do next and I'm not sure which to do, I actually just put them down like a left-hand column of tournament bracket, you know, like unnumbered, right? It doesn't even matter what pits against what because they all have to compete eventually. And then I literally have a tournament bracket that I fill out and then I go, okay, take this course versus invest in this thing, you know, go on vacation versus write this thing. And then you just compete it all against each other and they eventually all have to fight and then there's a winner. And you do that one and you realize like multitasking isn't a real thing. Doing, you know, the most important thing is the most important thing, you know, And The Effective Executive, Peter Drucker's book, was just a big, profound shift for me. You know, sometimes I read books and I go, oh, maybe I'll think about, when I read that book, it was like punch in the face. And the thesis is almost everyone's thinking about how to be efficient. How do I get more done in the same amount of time or less? And his thing was like, well, none of that matters if you don't do the right thing, you know? And it really resonated with me because, you know, the hard work ethic in fitness entrepreneurship, you know, everyone talks about how we have to work hard. And like my experience never suggested that hard work was the differentiating factor. I grew up in an immigrant family. You know, my parents, came over on the proverbial boat. They rode on a boat to come to the United States, from Italy. And, they had no education and they worked really, really hard. And a lot of the immigrants around us did. And none of them were like, you know, even earning markedly more than the poverty level at certain points in their lives. So I was just like, I don't know, this hard work ethic, I saw that applied in a certain domain. And it, all it did was have people work hard their whole lives and die without much more than they started with. Now, a lot of, you know, in fairness, a lot of these folks were like escaping persecution or like possible death in other countries. So it did work out better for them, but it wasn't this sort of entrepreneur's dream of, you know, work hard and boom, you know, you'll be rich. So all of this kind of coalesced into this sort of model of saying like, all right, so I saw this over here. So the hustle isn't the differentiating factor. Peter Drucker, here's one of the most successful management people of all time, is talking about being really ruthless in choosing what's going to matter. Now I have children and like a finite amount of time. All right, how do I think about spending that time? You know, and having grown up in an immigrant family, I knew I would work hard already. Like it's in the DNA. So I'm just like, man, it'd be great when I die or retire to have had something to show for it, to be really proud and be like, I did this with all those work effort units that I've put out, you know? And I was rewarded for it. And that comes not from working hard. It comes from, as people would say, working smart. So that's where the tournament comes in. Like, how can I make the smartest choice at any point in time on how to devote my effort? And you can't possibly know what the smartest choice is until you've identified your purpose, your unique abilities, and your values. And then once you run the tournament and you have one thing left, you have to say no to everything else, right? And then that's where you have to get graceful and show gratitude, you know? And I published a piece on this, and it's in the book also, just how to say no gracefully and gratefully. And there's a script for people that sort of walks them through this very thing. And, you know, I think early in your career, you know, a lot too much is made about saying no, because early in your career, you don't have any opportunities. So your NCAA tournament has like two teams in it. You know what I mean? So then almost everything has to be a yes. You know, when you get to a certain point in your life, you know, the opportunities will be more than you could possibly even do, maybe in your entire life, let alone in the next year. So then how do you choose most effectively? And then be really, really thoughtful in how you say no to the rest, so that if those opportunities need to be part of your tournament again, someone will ask you to.
I can't tell you how useful that was to me, because there were a lot of things that, you know, I think I would have kind of a general understanding of a concept, and I think you helped me kind of shape it into a tool that I could actually employ. And that was really, really helpful. And
it's one of my weird gifts. I mean, I talk about these like marble notebooks, but I literally have them all over my office. And anytime I want to unpack something or understand it better, I just do this notebook thing. And I mean, I have notebooks on everything. Like, you know, last year, about a year ago, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition. So I was like, all right, cool. Now this thing may get the better of me, or I may get the better of it, but, I'm not going to go down without a fight. So there's some pretty detailed, notes and experiments and things like that. And that's where I'm weird. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. If I'm going to get really good at choosing things, then there needs to be a real system here. You know, there needs to be like what, you know, and I love, you know, come from sports background. So a lot of the systems are like, how, what can I borrow from sports? Okay, cool. This is a great analogy from sports, you know, and that's kind of my thing. I mean, it's like at PN, our content machine was built that same way. Like, let's get really, really clear on what we're doing here. To the point where a new person could come in with no experience with us, and they might not be perfect at it, but they can actually see what the process is. And so that was my goal here, you know. And I mean, even things like, you know, cannabis was recently legalized in Canada for recreational and medical use. And, you know, PN wanted to do a big article on it. So I'm like, all right, cool. If we're going to do that, we got to unpack this thing, you know, because most of the information on the internet is just what I consider just a bunch of unclear thinking. You know what I mean? Morally laden, research devoid, heavy in personal experience, you know, lots of superstition. So I'm like, if we're going to write about this topic, and I think it's time people write about this topic, way, way more athletes use it than I think most people understand. And I don't think it's just because they like to take drugs. I think there's actually effects that help them, you know, in some cases. And this isn't me saying go do cannabis, but, you know, I have notebooks full of this kind of stuff, schemas for unpacking this. So, so that may be one of my unique abilities, you know, figuring out how to unpack these things really down to the minute level of detail.
Well, I mean, I could keep asking you questions all day, and selfishly, I mean, I would probably take it as my own kind of business mastermind while we're here, but, you know, we've talked about the book a lot and Changemaker Academy, and I know you already have a bunch of tools already live on the site. So where can people go? Because there's zero doubt that after listening to this, they're interested in learning more and want to dig into this. So where can they go next?
Yeah, I think if people are intrigued by what we're doing and they pop over to changemakeracademy.com, at the very bottom of the homepage, for example, there's a section with free resources. And so, you know, if folks want to check out a sample of the book, they can do that. They can download a couple sample chapters. I've also provided all of the worksheets that I've talked about for free. So that's under the sort of activities and worksheets. So basically, like, when I was writing this book, it got too big. You know, they're like, we can't publish a 500 page book, dude. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let's pull out all the worksheets. That'll give us the opportunity to create fillable, like, worksheets that people can download online. So I'm like, cool. Why don't we just give them away to people, to use? Obviously there's some advantage to reading the book to really understand how they work. And then maybe that'll, you know, prompts people to want to buy the book. But even if they don't, here's some worksheets. There's also free Q&As on the site. So same thing, like I had done a Q&A with the most commonly asked questions at the end of each chapter. And again, we're like, oh, it makes the book too long. Okay, let's pull them out and we can give them away for free too. So there's tons of free stuff on the site. And that's all I really have to promote. You know, if folks like what they see and they want to buy the book, I mean, it's basically $20 on Amazon, and it's like 30 years of my work and experience. I think it's a pretty good deal. Maybe some people just like the worksheets and forms so much that they're like, hey, I want to give you $20 anyway, so I'm going to go buy the book. So that's really it, you know. And if people want to check out any of the other things I'm up to, you know, I just launched a johnbrody.com website, and that sort of, you know, sends people to the different things. If they want to see what we're doing at Precision Nutrition or Changemaker Academy or some of my other projects, because I'm dabbling in a bunch of other things that are non-industry related, just because it's really, really fun to show up in some new spaces with a total beginner's mind, and learn some things that aren't comfortable, you know, that are new, that are kind of exciting. So johnberry.com is another place where people can come check things out.
Well, awesome. And obviously I mean, if you're listening to this, go buy the book. If you don't love the book, I'll buy the book back from you. Go buy the book, because I know how big an influence John has been on so many people, including myself. This was wonderful. Like I said, I would probably just want to sit here and mastermind with you for the remainder of the day. But, guys, I mean, thank you for all of us listening into this, including me, for taking the time to, just share some of your journey, some of the insights, and then also for, kind of creating a path for people to kind of move forward and really pursue, the best route for them as they build a career and life they want. So
thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks to everyone who's listened for spending your time with us. That's really valuable. I understand that. And hopefully this is a jumping off point to get more value back for the time that you spent with us. And, you know, if I had a parting thought to leave, it's just, you know, kind of around what we talked about earlier, you know, there's a good chance every single person listening to this is going to spend the rest of their working career working hard at something. It would be really awesome if they took a few minutes now to figure out what that should be. So that, you know, my phrase is often so that when they die or retire or whichever comes first, there's something to show for it, that they'll have been rewarded personally, professionally, financially. And that the effort will have been, that will be something that they're proud of having spent in this direction. You know, if my work can do that, then I know that I've been expressing my purpose.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you. And guys, thanks for listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show. So this is Pat and John signing off.
Thanks for listening. And I've got a special gift for you. I'm giving away copies of my two best-selling books, The Fitness Entrepreneur's Handbook and The Ideal Business Formula. To get your copies, head over to patrigsby.com/gift.